Have you ever had someone in your life that seemed really, really intent on being around you all day, every day? I'm not just talking about neediness. I'm talking about someone who literally is sucking the living strength and energy from you. Their insecurities, their fears, their complaining, their nagging, all this stuff. And you're like thinking to yourself, I really don't want to be mean, but I want to literally either scream or avoid you or nag back and say, what's wrong with you? But I've got a solution for you. I've got a better way of dealing with people who are struggling emotionally, and we can learn how to deal with them in a way that's cool, calm, and caring. And if you're interested in those kind of conversations, you're going to really love this episode. We're going to get straight to it right after this short break. Hey, and welcome to the Introverted Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Denise Lee, and I'm a life coach for business owners. And beyond the skills and the tips to growing and scaling your business, I want to help you live a happy and successful and fulfilling life. That's where we're going to be diving into topics about communication, self-care, understanding yourself, understanding how to deal with others so that you can be able to thrive in all areas personally as well as professionally. And with that being said, if you are interested in learning more about me and my work, I want you to visit me at deniseglee.com. There you'll be able to read psychological articles and learn more about the science about how our brains work. And then let's chat via social media. Check me out on X, Twitter at Denise G. Lee. I'm going to leave links in the show notes below. And obviously, wherever you go via my website, or even chatting with me via social media, I just want to let you know that I'm here to support you if you are interested in working with me. I'm leaving links again in the show notes below. And with that being said, let's talk about this idea of dealing with emotionally limited people. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people out there who really don't understand that we can't be gods to them, you know. They're so used to us jumping and solving things over and over and over again that they think this is our default mode of behavior. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about one particular old friend that I had, and I'm just going to call her Emily. And not her real name, but I just want to give her some privacy in case she's listening to this podcast episode. But Emily, she was the person who, she's a lawyer. She's just known as just solving all things for all people. If you needed a legal document, she got you. If you were having problems with dealing with certain people, she got you. She was filing paperwork. She was doing 5,000 things. And I remember one day I asked her, do you ever put limits on certain people about what they can and cannot do? And then she kind of sighed and said, usually not. I'm just so used to doing this. As I'm saying this, you may be that person. And if you do, you have this energy of attracting people who have this either victim or persecutor mindset, and they're constantly blaming you for things that they should have done. And this is so common for entrepreneurs who are in the service industry because we're so used to trying to anticipate problems before they even come. And if we get in this habit, we're teaching and training people that they are not responsible. And if we do something, it should be by standards that they haven't even communicated with themselves, let alone with us. And it leaves us feeling frustrated and drained. And they might even come back and say to us, oh, you're making excuses, or you don't really mean that. And then they'll ask questions in 5,200 plus ways until they get you to bend to their knee. And love, that is slavery. That is not living life. That is living in constant fear of disapproval, fear of being rejected. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, but they asked me for help. So why am I feeling so drained and afraid and alone and ashamed for setting up boundaries? And for a lot of you right now, this is not just something that's happening right down in the present. We're hitting the replay loop about stuff of how you were treated as a child. Eric Byrne, the founder of transactional psychology, came up with this idea of transactional relationships with people, where you do certain things, you get certain things in return. And if we do this long enough, we start assigning labels to ourselves about who we are and how we're supposed to relate with people. And if we're not careful with that, it can lead into patterns called games, where we're doing stuff in order to fulfill needs that were not met as our ch childhood experiences. And this can create a life script of not thinking or feeling joyful. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes below if you're interested in learning what your life script is. But the point I'm trying to make of this is that for a lot of us, we have just gone on autopilot, attracting this whirlwind of chaos and confusion and dysfunction about where we stop and another person begins. And if we want a better and happier life, we have to acknowledge that relationships are a give and take. We want to expand emotionally, but we don't want to be doing things that are beyond our capacity or our limitations. We need rest. We need to understand that we can't be all things to other pe all people at all times. And what I want us to understand is that those patterns and those tendencies may have worked us served us well in situations where everyone around us were emotionally limited. But if we want to grow in our businesses, if we want to be able to interact with people in a very clear, distinct, emotionally healthy way, we can't do this. And codependency gave us this distorted thought we can control how people react to us. No, that's not what it is. That's not our job controlling how people react to us. Our job is to be clear about our wants and our needs in a very kind and caring way. No more ghosting, lying, avoiding, evading. No more pretending that we're okay with things that are hurting ourselves or what we want. Now we're going to be learning how to create a structure so that we don't find any reason why we can avoid things that are hurting us. We confront it and we find solutions. And so, what I want to be talking with you at today is this idea of emotional boundaries. And one of the most beautiful books that I read when I first started my own recovery and personal development journey was Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. Is a faith-based book, but it's still classic even to this day. But this is the idea of, for a lot of us, we never really understood how we're not helping anybody, including ourselves, when we are unclear about what we want to do, and why we w are going to go about and doing it. And this is what I want to talk with you about right now. Is I want to talk about first and foremost signs that you're crossing some emotional boundaries, because for a lot of us, it's a slippery sliding track into chaos and confusion and dysfunction. And we're like, how did we do this? How do we slip and fall and land ourselves in working 60 plus hours a week? How do we slip and fall and allowing people to lie to our face and we just kind of take it? How do we find ourselves getting to situations with people who disrespect us? It doesn't happen by accident. And I'm going to talk about signs that get us into this whirlwind of chaos and confusion. And then next, I want to talk about what can we do about this? How can we get control over our own boundaries, emotional boundaries, and how we can protect ourselves from things from going sideways. So if you're a note taker, this is a great time to get your pen and paper out. I'm a big note taker. Because I'm always writing stuff down. Because here's a funny thing, just because you're listening to something doesn't mean you'll be able to retain it. Because I don't know about you, but I've got tons of things on my mind. Even as I am talking with you, I'm thinking about other things on my mind. But when I'm sitting, I'm writing things down. In that moment, right then and there, I'm focusing, I'm paying attention, I'm able to be able to kind of silence the monkey brain of my mind that wants to be thinking about, oh, I got to do this in an hour. Oh, what about calling this person? All this other stuff, all that noise silences when I'm focusing. And if you can't notate or write anything down, at least make some mental notes on some areas as you're listening to me saying, go, oh, snap, Denise is on point there. I really need to zoom in more on that area. So either way, if you have something to write with, awesome, do it. But if something's not available to you for whatever reason, at least make some mental notes for yourself or write down some keywords in your mind so that you can be able to circle back and think about this later, okay? First and foremost, let's talk about signs that you may be crossing emotional boundaries with others. I'm going to talk about three things all at once, and then we're going to dive more into each one. So, three signs are feeling others' emotions, two, always helping others first, and three, struggling to speak up. Feeling others' emotions, always helping others first, and struggling to speak up. So let's talk about feeling others' emotions. This is a big thing. And as I'm talking about, I've met so many people who say, well, I'm empathetic. I want to really connect with them and understand how they do. I want to walk in their shoes and feel the hurt and the pain and the disappointment. And here's the thing, as I say this, nobody's saying that empathy is a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm talking about where is you get so caught up in the rhythms and the motions of what other person's struggles and fears and concerns are, you have a hard time keeping your feelings separate from them. Like, let's think about it this way. Matt, I was really into watercolors, doing watercolor art when I was a kid. Maybe you do watercolors, or think about any type of painting or drawing or coloring. Have you ever noticed when you start blending colors together, it starts turned into something that's like unrecognizable? Like, for example, you meld red and yellow, and what do you get? You get orange, right? Okay, I can get orange, but what if you take that orange and you blend it with red and maybe purple or blue? If you notice it starts turning into a blob of crap, like you don't even know what that looks like. You have no idea of who came from what or how or when. Well, that's the problem when we get so deep in someone's fears and worries and anxieties. I was talking with someone the other day, and she was telling me about the marital problems of her daughter. And as she was talking, I could see her getting as emotional and intense and worried and fearful. And I had a hard time figuring out, wait, who's having the marital problems? You or your daughter? And that's the problem when we get so caught up in other people, we start losing our sense of our own individuality and we lose our focus about what we need to find inner an inner sense of self or inner sense of who we are. Okay, now let's talk about always helping others first. Now this is weird, okay, because we live in a society that says people are way too selfish, they're so focused, and that's why nothing is really getting done because everyone's looking out for number one. And this is not what I'm talking about. Like when you see someone who's clearly in need and you're helping someone either cross the street or pick up something that dropped, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about people who are literally struggling with their own sense of emotional and physical safety, and they're trying to focus on somebody else. And I see it all the time with people who are specifically medical legal professions. And I'm thinking about one particular client I had. He was a psychiatrist of all things, and he was struggling with his own emotional well-being while trying to counsel other people on PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So here he was with his own marriage crumbling, and he was trying to help other people stay focused in reality and helping people heal. You can't. It's kind of like when you're on a plane, the plane's going down, the oxygen mask come down, and you're like literally you the cabin has lost pressure, you're losing oxygen, and you're trying to put on the oxygen mask on everybody else while you're literally dying. If you're always focused on what others need while forgetting about what you need, it's a sign that you don't have good boundaries. And when you ignore your own needs to help others, it can make you feel upset and tired after a while. And when I think about certain people who are working to help other people thrive, but they're neglecting their health. And when I say health, I'm talking about spiritual, emotional, physical health. How in the world are you really modeling for other people what health and prosperity looks like? You can only keep up the charade but for so long. And so how many times have you read or heard about stories about these famous people who are on top of the world, the next thing you know, they're having a burnout because they were ignoring the signs that their body and their spirit and their soul was crying out for help. Okay? Now, let's talk about struggling to speak up. We just talked about feeling others' emotions, always helping others first. And let's talk about struggling to speak up. For a lot of us, and again, it goes back to your life script, where if you are around people who made you feel terrible for saying that you need to take a rest or that you needed to not complain, that you just need to press through, that other people have gone through way worse. What's the point of you talking about it? Talking about it is not going to change anything. You just need to work harder. If you've been around people who've instilled that type of mindset in your mind, that programming is deep. Oh my gosh, so deep. And you may not want to talk about it because you're all every time you want to talk about all the struggles and it's real, not imagine. And you're not just trying to complain. You are literally struggling with your mental health, your physical health. You're struggling getting up and waking up. You're struggling to go to sleep and stay asleep. You've got voices in your head telling you about all these fears, and you just don't know how to quell those overwhelming thoughts. And you need to tell someone so that you can get tools to think and do better. But if you got those voices saying, don't say anything, you can end up finding yourself in a pattern doing more and more and more and more out of a false sense of guilt. Then you'll start feeling shame, embarrassment, regret, self-pity, just to name a few stuff. And that's hard to want to say, hey, I can't do this because you think, well, my situation is not as bad as them. I'm not going through what they're going through. Therefore, I just need to just zip my lips and just keep providing and providing and supplying and being available. But when we do that, we're giving people the false impression that we can just keep going and going and going like an energizer button. There's no limit to us. And we're training people inadvertently to mistreat us. We're training people to think that we can do all things at all times. We're trying to be a Wonder Woman, Superman, super figure, whatever you want to call yourself. And I know that might make you feel good about yourself, but there are limits to what you can do. We live in a society that lies to us and say, well, we can be all things to everybody all the time. But that's a freaking lie. We can only do but so much with certain people. Look, here's the thing. I have lovely clients, and there's some clients that I just can't deal with a lot of them. You know what I'm talking about? There's certain people that you can take a lot, and there's certain people that you can't take a little. And it all depends on their personality, what's going on with you. A lot of different factors. And for a lot of us, we don't even recognize, oh my goodness, I really need to take a break here. Or I can only handle 30 minutes of this person on this subject. But we need to be honest with ourselves so that we can be honest with other people. And as you've been listening to us talk about this feelings others when we're crossing emotions and when unable to distinguish where they begin and where we start, and we're feeling others' emotions, and we're always trying to help others, and we struggle to speak up and share with what we can and cannot do. We're setting ourselves up for scenarios with people who may not be emotionally damaged or compromised or have these issues, but we're training them to mistreat us because we're not having clarity within us. So what I want to talk about is four areas for you to get into some habits and routines to get control over your emotional boundaries and get control of the direction of your life professionally and personally. Okay. And for some of you guys, if you're feeling a lot of resistance about one particular thing that I'm saying, I'm telling you to lean more into it because that's the sign that there's more healing within you that needs to occur. Okay. So I'm going to list them all at once and then we're going to dive into each one specifically. Number one, find out what your triggers are. Two, figure out why it's hard. That's a big one. Three, know what you really want. And lastly, speak up clearly. So let's dive into the first one. Find out what your triggers are. See, here's the thing, and this is where I kind of tell on myself. For the longest time, when I interacted with certain people, I would feel like a knot in my stomach. Or my hands will be a little kind of sweaty and palmy, or I would fidget a little bit. And I didn't really recognize that my body was even going through those vibes. And maybe that's going on with you right now too. Maybe your jaw is clenched. Maybe you're tightening your glutes. There's so many little clues with us that we are not feeling safe and secure. And I want you to notice what situations or things or people do that to you when you're getting set off. That's a sign that your boundaries are being crossed. And when you figure that out, that's the first step of dealing with it better. You can't solve something if you don't even recognize what's happening to you. So I always tell all my clients, get a sheet of paper out, all right? And you don't even have to write it down, but I want you to kind of maybe make a check or the time of the day when you're starting to feel a little upset or you're feeling off. And we can start making some correlations and going, oh, when I'm with this person at this time of day, or when I'm feeling hungry at this time of day, and start figuring that out. For a lot of us, we don't even know. We're just letting the emotions overcome and overtake us, and we never figure out, oh, snap. This is really upsetting me. Okay. Number two, actually, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Figure out why it's hard. Think about why it's difficult for you to set boundaries. Is it because you're feeling fearful, or you're anxious, or lonely, or afraid? Maybe you're scared of arguments with people, which is hard if you're around people who are very aggressive and dominating, or have poor boundaries themselves. Or perhaps you really want everyone to like you, which is a fear of being accepted for who you are in vulnerability. And this is where, if you don't have someone to help you understand this, working with a coach like me, or a therapist, a trusted friend, or someone who can really see the motivations behind what you're doing. Because we as human beings, we do a fabulous job of lying to ourselves about what's really going on because the nasty, painful, icky stuff that's going inside of ourselves, a lot of us don't want to deal with. So we want to come up with quick excuses, put an old box covered up, and kind of slide that in the corner and not really want to deal with it. But if we don't deal with it, it just gets bigger and bigger. As Carl Jung once says, what we resist ends up persisting. And I don't want persistence of pain and confusion and dysfunction in your life. Okay. Now, let's go to the fun parts. Knowing what you really want. We just talked about your triggers and figuring out why it's hard. Let's talk about what you really want. This is the time you take time to think about what you really want and need instead of always doing what others want. It could be obviously feeling safe, getting some praise, or just not feeling scared. I don't know about you, but I felt so scared for so many years. And the reason behind it was because I was trying to find validation and people who echoed the same painful dynamics that occurred to me when I was a child. If I could somehow find acceptance through people who were demeaning and discouraging, I could finally conquer those old wounds and be healed. And I found out that's not how it works. Healing comes when I learn to accept myself, regardless of who's around me or what they say. You might have to repeat what I just said and for it to really sink in, because that took me over 10 plus years to figure that one out. Healing comes from finding acceptance and love within yourself, regardless of what other people think, do or say. And I know as human beings, we're tribal. We want to find acceptance. But what's the point of finding acceptance and judgment and people who are judgmental, critical, negative, and complaining, or feeling as if you had to be their doormat in order for them to feel validated? That's not relationship. That's just being a punching bag. And I don't know about you, but that's no way to thrive personally or professionally. And we don't want to develop the relationship dynamic with everybody that says, well, come on over and give yourself a good smack around the face. We don't want to teach people to do that to us. At least I don't want that to happen to you. And depression and low self-esteem and anxiety does a really great job of convincing ourselves that that's all we deserve. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie. That's a lie from demons from the past. That's a lie from dysfunctional influences that happened to you in the past. And that's, or even the present. Safety and security have to come from feeling safety within yourself. And that's trusting and believing that all things are not designed to hurt or harm you. You have purpose and you have a reason to be here, and it's not going to be just to be kicked and smacked around verbally or, unfortunately, in some cases, physically. That's not what life is supposed to be. Okay. So we just talked about knowing what you really want, getting to the root issue of that. For a lot of us, we never knew how to feel safe with other people, let alone ourselves. And if we need to take some time away, taking a pause from our business, taking a pause from certain relationships with certain people, then so be it. You know, I've talked with a lot of people who have gone through abusive situations, romantic situations, as well as abusive professional situations. And the biggest thing is to, in order to heal, is to leave. And I know for a lot of us, we think, well, I'm getting so much in terms of money or attention, but it's that price tag for that is super high because it makes you feel discouraged. It makes you feel doubtful of your abilities. It makes you feel unavailable for good things in your life. And as I'm talking about, I'm thinking about one particular professional situation I had where it was so clear that the work situation was abusive and it was toxic. But I thought if I could finally get approval from certain people, then I could arrive. But if anything, it just made me depressed and lonely and fueled alcoholism. At least that's what happened to me. And I know some people right now are listening to this and are going through some really chaotic situations because they're trying to justify the ingestible in their life. And in order for you to finally see things clearly, you probably need to exit it. Now, let's talk about the last one, speaking up clearly. This is where you practice saying what you want and need in a clear and confident way. This ain't easy. That's why I always tell my clients, let's role play. Let's go through it with certain people, with your coworkers or your team members or with a spouse, partner, or your kid or whatever. Let's do it 5,000 different ways because when we are surrounded with people who don't understand or respect boundaries, they don't like when you finally develop a backbone and say, hey, look, I don't want to do this anymore. They're going to resist it. They're going to try to get you back into place. And in order for you to develop the confidence, it requires you practicing what you've learned about yourself, what you need, why you don't want certain things. And you may have to do some iterations of speaking again and again and again, and that until you feel comfortable. And putting yourself first is sometimes isn't selfish, is necessary for you to have real relationships and real connections. And understand that people who aren't healthy don't like that. And if they feel sad about that, you don't have to own that. You don't have to take responsibility for how people are unable to deal with reality. What your job is to take back control of your life, set appropriate boundaries, and lastly, enforce them. If you say, I am unable to provide this project or this task for you anymore unless you blah, blah, blah. If they fail to do those conditions, they've reneged on their agreement. And the way you know that you love yourself and anybody around you is by the commitments that you're willing to make and keep. And if you're not willing to make commitments to yourself about how you protect your sanity, then you're basically teaching other people, please destroy me. Please just put that knife in deep and twist it until I can't even move. I'm paralyzed. And just because you may have seen this modeled by your parents or your friends or role models, didn't make it healthy and didn't make it right. So I'm hoping that as you learn to first find out what triggers you, figure out why it's hard, know what you really want, and speaking clearly, you will get to the place where you'll finally stand up and live the life that you are meant to live. Well, I hope this podcast episode was helpful to you. If so, kindly share this podcast episode with other people. Make sure that you hit that follow subscribe button if you haven't done so already. And connect with me via X, Twitter, social media, Denise G. Lee. Visit me on my website, DeniseGLee.com. And as always, make sure that you actually do the next step after you're listening to me. Ask yourself the important question, because again, it's not enough just to get this pep talk listening to me. It takes implementation and it takes follow through and action. So whatever action that I said that was like, oh my goodness, you really hit me hard, Denise, go ahead and do that, because knowing the fact that you deserve better is the first step to healthiness and prosperity in your professional life, your personal life. That's the way to win. Well, until next time, take care and be awesome.